You know what would be great? See who could play the worst golf.
Wow.
Strap in.
Why not? Liv needs some new kind of recognition.
All right, so we're going to give a prize for who can play the worst golf.
Correct.
Is AK in contention?
I'm
going to
say
that?
Unintentionally plays the worst. Unintentionally plays the worst golf.
I know you can't just intentionally play bad, right?
Oh, oh.
What I'm saying is, it was
sure, you sure about that?
You never finish. Because the goal was to play as bad as possible. Everybody would be playing horrible. I mean, we'd be on the first hole and still waiting for Rom to put out for his 1,032.
Welcome back to episode 68 of the Loggerhead Golf Podcast. It was a crisp 58 and beautiful here in Wilmington, North Carolina this morning. So fall golf is officially here. Are you guys excited or what?
No.
No?
No.
Why not?
I like the heat.
Oh. Dude, you got to ask yourself, though, is this just false fall? Yeah. Is it going to be back in the 90s next week?
It might be 97 again next week with 80% humidity, but at least it's nice for now. So with fall, obviously, we've got really great weather this time of year in the Carolinas. A lot of courses start hosting their member guests, fall member guests. So what are some things that we expect to see, you know, upcoming over the next month or two that people will do to prepare for these late winter / early fall tournaments?
Yeah, the high's not over 83 for the next few days.
Yeah, perfect. Well, what surprised me, we see some handicap manipulation. usually what, you know, when you're at a club, you always have those few guys you're going to watch and see what scores are posted because you know they're going to try to either sandbag or something.
I mean, we usually, at the places that I've worked, once the – because the fields are set. Most clubs member guests, the fields are set. If you're doing a September or October member guest, we usually had to make sure the field was set by April, May at the latest. That way we have time to get booklets done, get all the things that – all the nonsense that comes with member guests besides running the tournament. But so we usually knew – probably as we're getting close to the tournament, looking at handicaps and stuff, we had a pretty good idea of who was probably most likely going to win some flights.
Yeah.
Now, I've been around many different ones. Some places take the handicaps very seriously, so it doesn't matter if, you know, you do a 10-shot differential between partners. I feel like if you're going to do one, that's the way to kind of help manage the field a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, because if you have – you know, a zero playing with a 14.
You and Chase.
Whoa, he's a 9.
Okay,
but I'm a plus 4.
Yeah,
but
still,
that's they did it last year.
Yeah, 10 shot rule.
Yeah, so yeah.
I mean, you have to.
You have to. But I mean, funny enough is we're probably going to see it here in the shop. I remember last year. How many people came pouring in? I need either a new 3-wood. I need either a new 5-wood. Something along those lines.
I say if they're not trying to work on their handicap for the member guests, they're trying to get that one golf club that's going to fix
all their problems.
All their problems, yeah. You know, right, and do it right before the member guest.
Have you guys seen anything? Like, do you guys have any stories of any bad sandbagging or? Anything's get out of hand?
So we played in a tournament, and it was a church tournament in Maiden, North Carolina at Glen Oaks. We played in this tournament every year. And the best part was this particular year, it was me, my brother who's a pro, one of his friends who's a pro, and my dad. And I know you've played Glen Oaks before, mm-hmm. but essentially this golf course, if you can carry certain trees, like get the ball up high enough and carry it 280, about 4 of the par 4s are drivable. And we were fortunate enough, we eagled all 4 par 4s. And we came in at 21 under.
Yeah.
And that's driving 6 greens that day and pretty much every par 5 and 2. I mean, we're fortunate that we were able to play from a tee up. Everybody played from the same tees. There wasn't a ladies tee. There wasn't a senior tee. Everybody played from the ladies tee.
No throws, no strings.
So, and to put it in perspective, first place got a trophy, a box of donated Bridgestone High School golf balls with a high school logo, and I think like a $25 voucher for Outback Steakhouse.
That's nice.
Because
again, this is a tournament that is made for just raising money for, you know, the particular church. Yeah. We lost by 6 shots.
Yeah.
And the youngest person in that group who they actually played in front of us, the youngest person was probably 54. And Like they have a hole out there that's called the Dale Earnhardt Hole. Mm-hmm. It's a straightaway par four. They always do longest drive. And I was about 20 yards
what
short.
What makes the hole Dale Earnhardt Hole?
Is it hole number three?
Yeah. Well, and then it's okay. got a plaque on it.
Is there a wall in turn? Sorry.
Yeah. So there's a plaque on it. Yeah.
Yes. Wow.
Talk sorry. About a left turn. Jeez. Yeah. And there's a plaque out there. But left. At the time, that's when I hit it a lot further than I do now. I almost drove the green. Daryl pushed it in the bunker. He would have hit the green. And then my dad just put one in the fairway. And so we actually chip in for eagle there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had claimed to have hit the center of the green and then make eagle. And with that hole, there's a separation of a cart path, the two fairways, and their ball never reached the cart path.
Yeah.
And they were on their third shot. But hey. So it's fun to watch because a lot of clubs now that we've seen on like social media, they'll actually take all the flight winners and make them like if there's a tie or a possible rules infraction, they'll actually play a bonus hole with everybody watching. And put everybody under pressure.
Yeah.
So Barstool shared an awesome video of that where this team came in at like 25 under and everybody snap hooked it or topped it or, I mean, they couldn't even get it off the tee box.
Right.
So.
What about you? Scrambles are definitely where, I mean, I know it's not a handicap tournament, but that's where you see some pencil whipping.
Yeah. I was going to say one of my better stories is I had a member who was going to bring a guest in from England. And over there, he did not have a gin handicap. And
surprised you guys allowed him to play.
Well, no, we didn't. He had to get a handicap figured out. He had to get a handicap.
Yeah.
So anyway, what this golfer did was he waited until the last minute to finally create a gin account and then posted all of his scores all at once. And because of the way the revisions worked, when it refreshed, instead of counting like the 8 scores he put in, it only counted his best one.
Yeah. Because there wasn't enough end.
Right. And so it had him at like a 2 handicap. He's like, nah, I got to be at least an 8. Like, I'm sorry, bud, but this is what it is. I ended up calling the CGA office, asking them what to do. And they explained like how the situation happened and everything. They were like, realistically, like we can see, because on their end, they could see that he posted like all of his scores from like the same device at the same time, back to back.
Was this prior to 2019?
It was right at the start of the World Handicap System. Yeah.
It was right at the start where, like, you pretty much have to post your score every day.
Correct.
You can no longer.
Correct.
Well,
and so anyway.
If your club's handicap committee.
Oh, I know what it was, too. We were also using the 12-month low index.
Nice.
For the event for guests as well, too. So because he posted all of his all at one time, and that what it did is it went back and calculated, the system went back and calculated what his index would have been. Mm-hmm. After each score.
Yeah.
And so it made his low index like a 1 point mm-hmm. something, and his current index was like a 6.
Yeah. I mean.
And he had to play with a low index. I was I'm sorry, guys.
It's better that way than the other way. I know we'll get more into that, but I mean, that's just the biggest thing. And also, if you're at a club where you think sandbagging's going on and the same team or same individuals are always winning, put in the 12-month low index rule. It's hard to go around that because now in the handicap system, if you're actually keeping up with who all's in the field and if people are actually posting their scores, unless someone's fibbing their scores for a full year.
So you got to manipulate it for a whole year, which can be done.
Golfers are crazy.
Yeah, I have seen that happen.
I mean, we see it in the base. Golfers are crazy.
Right.
In a good way. We're crazy. I mean, we're talking about golf right now at 8 o'clock in the morning. But all in all, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that can go into a member guest.
Yeah.
And I feel like every single member guest, there's something that happens.
I say biggest thing getting ready for your member guest, get out and practice, play, and get those new golf clubs you've been wanting.
Yeah. Now, in other news, we do still have somewhat professional golf going on this week. Some may think it's not professional golf.
Well, it doesn't count for anything technically.
Does it aside feel from getting a like professional card? Golf?
Yeah.
Are we talking about the match or are we talking about LIV?
Which one are you talking about?
Well, the PGA Tour.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Which one's what?
Well, we're talking about both, right? We're talking about both.
Who's on first?
I know. No, but the PGA Tour, I was surprised. PGA Tour is playing in Napa this week.
Are they?
Yeah, and they have a...
part of the fall series?
They have a... Well, that's a thing.
I saw it.
These events don't count towards anything.
Yeah.
No, if you win these events and you're not in, like, it only helps your world ranking, I guess. But we have the Procore Championship.
The what?
Procore. Because it used to be called the...
Parkour?
Yeah, parkour. it used to be called the Fortinet. Then it was the Fries.com.
Oh, yeah,
the
Fortinet, yeah.
So
this is the one, this is at...
this is in Napa.
The club that Johnny Miller has part ownership in or whatever.
Yeah, it like partially is burnt down because usually there's always the wildfires going on.
There's a wildfire in California right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Were these ones started by hippies? I'm sorry, that's controversial topic. But... Well, they found that last one last year was started by campers, which is nuts.
I mean,
they deemed it arson, but
happens, I guess.
I know. Tough stuff. But
all right, so Max Holm was in the field. The Procore, Parkour Championship.
Yeah, Procore Parkour.
Yeah.
Sahith Agala's playing in it. We got some Team USA. Because I remember last year with the Ryder Cup, everyone was saying that maybe USA should have all played in that event.
Play something leading up to it, right?
Leading up to it. Any predictions on who you guys think are going to win, even though you didn't know that the tournament was going on this week?
I don't know who else, the field. I'm taking the field.
Yeah. I don't know. It's Sahith's time, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't shock me since it's in California if Max actually finally did something.
He played well there last year.
Correct. Yeah, Max. I mean, typically he wins in California.
2 years ago?
I feel like
he won it two years ago.
Well, I think that's when he went. I think he won there and at Torrey. And at the Genesis. Yeah. Or is the Genesis at Torrey? No.
Genesis is at Riviera.
Yeah, because I think that was the California Swing where he won
Hogan's Alley.
But
Hogan's Alley.
How many golf courses claim a Hogan's Alley?
I know. That's another conversation. I mean,
topic for another day, I guess.
We'll topic to for another
think
day.
About it for a second.
We can get our takes on golf course architecture.
Yeah.
We'd really make the golf course architecture nerds mad about that conversation. And then we got the Live season individual championship, not the team, just the individual this
Ron
week.
V. Neiman. How many golfers have a chance to win the individual?
It's a two-horse race.
Right? Yeah.
It's a two-horse race.
So what are the other guys doing out there?
Playing golf.
Well, they have relegation.
Right.
They have relegation. So
they're playing for their spot on the tour.
Correct.
Next year,
the guys
right?
that are sitting outside, I think there's 57 players. If you're not in the top 50,
I thought it was 47 or 46, something like that.
So if you finish inside the top 50, and I might be wrong on this, possibly more than likely wrong, but if you finish inside the top 50, I think that you can play next year. It's not guaranteed that you're on a team.
Correct.
If you don't finish inside the top like 45 or 40,
okay.
If you finish inside the top 45 or 40, you're guaranteed, I think, a team spot.
Right. That's like what I'm thinking team. Of.
Like, you can still get traded.
Yeah, I mean, you can still be.
Like that.
Yeah, you just won't have a spot on the
but
team.
But, like, everyone's joking this year, Bubba Watson's outside the top 50.
So is Phil Mickelson.
Phil Mickelson, yeah. So they're asking, like, you know, are you guys going to give up your spots on? Like, Bubba actually seriously thought about it. I know Ian Poulter has come out and said that if he feel like he cannot contribute to his team.
Contribute.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that your new interesting?
I think it might be. It might be.
An interesting way to say that.
Yeah, very. He said he will gladly pull himself out of the hat because each of their teams are run as an individual business.
I was going to say, like, with some of these legacy golfers and team captains, if they don't finish inside that top 50.
Well, we ain't talking about teams. We're talking about individual.
I mean, it's part of it, though.
Who do we think is going to win? Rahm versus Neiman. I mean, I feel like this.
What course are they playing at? Is it?
Can we look that up, Miles?
I feel like it's in Chicago, but I could be.
I think it is Chicago. I feel like they've already played
it's
in
like
Chicago.
Like, who wants
to
be a millionaire? Got to phone a friend.
I know.
Yeah.
But let's just see. God, this website's so bad. Chicago.
But what golf course?
Individual champ and season races determined. I'm looking it up, dude. Calm down.
If they're serious about it, they are.
Bolingbrook.
Oh, that's right. Was this the golf course, the public course, has like a $50 or $60 daily
that's
fee
right.
to play?
That's
in
awesome because
like
the team championship is at Merido in Texas, which that will be cool.
Or maybe that was the one. I don't know. Anyway.
No, Merido. Whoa. Merido is not a $50 club.
But,
No, I mean, Liv's done a very bad job
of
heightening this.
They really have. They haven't had a lot of hype at all about this.
This should be a bigger deal than it is.
But well, I'm gonna I literally asked you guys 20 minutes ago. I was like, what is this even about?
It's the season finale, man. This is your FedEx Come Cup on, of guys, the Live, basically, podcast. Right?
No.
But I would say probably Rahm. He's been more consistent over the whole year than Niemann has. Niemann was really hot to start. I mean,
sure
about
that?
Niemann hasn't really done all that much on the Live Tour the last couple of tournaments.
I mean, he still won like three times.
At the start.
Rahm's only won once.
I know. And Rahm is the only one that's got a chance to beat him with one win.
I know.
He's been a lot more consistent.
I mean, you don't have to win this week.
I know you don't. You just got to beat one guy.
You just got to beat one guy.
I know. I think Rahm will beat
you. Know what would be amazing? They're going to see. You know what would be great?
That's what I'm saying.
You know what would be great? See who could play the worst golf. Hear me out.
Hear me out.
Here
we go.
Why?
Strap in.
Why not? Liv needs some new kind of recognition.
All right, so we're going to give a prize for who can play the worst golf.
Correct.
Is AK in contention?
I'm
going to
say
that?
Unintentionally plays the worst. Unintentionally plays the worst golf.
I know you can't just intentionally play bad, right?
Oh.
What I'm saying is, it was
you sure about that?
You can never finish because the goal was to play as bad as possible. Everybody be playing horrible. I mean, we'd be on the first hole and still waiting for Rahm to put out for his 1,032.
If we were wanting to see who played the worst, we would have just watched the Creator Classic at East Lake.
Kyle.
At least Anthony Kim's under par.
Honestly, Kyle, under par got into the one-hole playoff?
Mm-hmm. Honestly, AK has been playing better. Yeah. I got to throw a little shade at him, but he's been playing better.
He has not held back on Brandel Chamblee.
No. Hey, good for him.
I mean, he hasn't held back on anybody. I mean, he did not hold back on Nike golf equipment. That was something.
What does he say about that?
Oh, he posted a thing. He shout out. I guess there's a
club tour van.
Yeah, there's a club tech, and he was like, this guy. He goes, shout out to this guy. He has helped me all throughout my career, and better yet, he even made sure that my garbage, like trash can Nike clubs, even performed well. He essentially called Nike clubs garbage, which jury is out on that.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, there's a reason why Tiger never really played. I think the Covert Woods were good.
Well, the VR Pro irons were incredible. Like the actual blades.
Yeah,
they made some good stuff.
Huh?
Brooks still plays the driving iron.
Yeah,
they made some good stuff. But now there were some question marks.
There were some question marks in there for sure.
No, I think it'd be. Going back to where we started at with all this ramble for the live. For the live individual final.
Live.
I am taking Rahm.
You're taking Rahm. Just for argument's sake, I'm going to take Niemann.
Good for you.
Why not? Why not? We got a 50% chance.
Yeah.
You know?
Flip a coin.
Why not? But I will say, shame on Liv. I mean,
they got
a dud.
You got to hype this up more, for sure.
I mean, golf's in a bad spot right now.
Now, that being said...
I think he says that every podcast.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
But this is a perfect example. Like,
we do have the announcement of the next.
Gotta have an off season, bud.
Huh?
Gotta have an off season.
Announcement of the next, the match.
Then make it an off season. Then why is the PGA Tour playing this week?
Oh, I know.
Then make it an off season.
It should be an off season.
Yeah.
It is an off season. It doesn't count for anything.
It's an off season for 50 guys.
Yeah, but it's still, there's people still playing.
But that's the thing. It's like, how can they say it's like the best tour in the world, yet only 50 of the guys get to sit out until next January.
It would be like the NFL. It'd be like putting in all the third stringers and just playing the game every other week.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like this is the preseason games.
No, preseason is different. I'm saying like that'd be like
preseason. You're playing for your livelihood.
That's like a game in April before the draft. Just like let's get all
these guys are playing for their livelihood too.
Not really. This fall season does not affect their status for next year. Their status is already determined.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then Liv is a joke too. Like you didn't even know they were playing this week. Who would have like?
That's what because that we said they got to hype that up more.
Now there's one thing going on this November.
That's what said that the people next know about. Well, what the President's Cup?
No, God, no, Caleb.
Exactly. No, the match.
The match. Liv versus PGA Tour. I'm
trying to get you guys to talk about the damn match.
You said President's Cup. No. No one cares about that.
In our defense, this side of the table's
Miles,
been ready.
Go back
ready.
Into the tape and show where I've tried to bring this topic up.
This side of the table's been ready. This side had too much Red Bull and bourbon, I guess.
I do not drink before 8 o'clock.
Anyway. Okay.
All right. It is 5:44 somewhere.
The match here with we got Brooks and Bryson. Playing Scotty and Rory.
Early predictions.
What you got?
Scotty's going to carry Rory.
100%.
I think Brooks and Bryson are going to win by a landslide.
I don't think it will even be close.
Yeah.
Because I think they're going to talk that shit. And
oh, yeah.
Well, I seriously think.
Or we're going to see a different Rory.
I was going to say, Rory's going to have to kick in another gear than what he showed in the playoffs.
Because if not, it's going to be a Scotty show and Rory's just there to
hang out.
There.
Yeah.
All I know is if I hear Scottie Scheffler on TNT, when you got Charles Barkley saying curse words, Scottie Scheffler's out there, gosh darn it. Like, it's going to be a dud.
Actually, I kind of hope he does. But no, I think Brooks and Bryson ought to beat Scottie and Rory pretty handedly.
Yeah.
I mean,
we have seen firsthand Scottie Scheffler is not good at match play.
Well, he did win the Dale match play.
I'm talking about Ryder Cup.
He's not good in that four ball or like alternate shot format, like as a team match play, maybe. But I mean, individual match play.
I mean, I just remember what happened to him and Sam Burns. What did they lose? Like 9-8.
All I know is Scotty is capable of hitting the ball close enough to the hole where you give it to him. He ain't got a putt.
That's a fair point.
You know.
Now the question is this alternate shot? Is it?
Oh, they'll probably do four ball. You have to do four ball for this.
Yeah, I think so.
I feel like straight up off shot would be awesome.
That would be probably the most interesting, but from a spectator standpoint, with only four guys on the golf course, I think you got to go four ball.
Yeah. If it's alternate shot, Brooks and Bryson.
Oh, all
I don't know. Handily. I mean, if Rory's teeing off, Rory hasn't missed a fairway in like 5 years.
Yeah, but Bryson's going to put it so
The problem far. Is Rory can't hit a green from 100 yards.
Brooks' irons are solid.
Hmm?
Brooks' iron game is really good.
He's played better the past few weeks. Yeah. I mean, I will say this. Bryson, he played well in the majors this year, but on LIV, he hasn't really.
He's had some decent rounds, but hasn't like finished off tournaments
he's
or
focused
events.
On content creation, baby.
But I would say probably, looking at those pairings, the Brooks and Bryson pairing feels like a more complete pairing.
What a 180.
Always kind of felt like that was a bit
money men's relationship. Yeah, yeah.
Fabricated.
A little bit fabricated. Their trife or whatever you want to call it. But
do you think?
Do you think that comes up at all?
You think their angst was fabricated on the PGA Tour?
I think the PGA Tour fabricated it a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. To try to get a little bit more drama on PGA Tour.
I just remember that video of like Bryson walking by while Brooks is doing an interview. Yeah, and he just like rolls his eyes.
And who knows what might have happened that day. Maybe they were just mad at each other for that one day. Who knows?
I don't know. But Netflix told us that it was like.
That's what I say. It gets spun out of control.
I think the match is, this is a complete conspiracy theory, but if you think about it for a second, it makes sense. I think this is testing the waters for the merger.
Could be.
If people tune in to the two, like, obviously Bryson's huge on YouTube right now, and then Brooks has always been Brooks. And then you've got the PGA Tour superstar, Rory, you know, he's been the cheerleader, and then Scotty's been the best player on tour.
Scotty's also been, like, the 50-50 guy.
Yeah,
he hasn't been super pro PGA Tour. He just said, like, that's where I'm playing. Like, that's
so
where
I think
my
this
is
a way for them to test the water to see if the merger's worth it and if it's going to work.
Yeah. Very possible. I mean, definitely like Brooks and Bryson are very polarizing type of personalities, and Rory's.
I mean, they had record low viewership for the Tour Championship.
Good. I mean, honestly, that tells you need to change something, as we mentioned before. But I'm looking forward to this
Liv
match.
And constantly has record low viewership for anything.
They haven't been doing much better.
Yeah,
I'll say Indiana Fever games have more viewership than
That's a bit more of a fad right now, too, let's be honest.
We're talking about Caitlin Clark's playing great, man.
But now I'm looking forward to the match. I think this might be the best
match
since, like, remember the Battle at the Bridges or Showdown at Sherwood when they had Tiger versus Duval?
Yeah.
Because the other ones, to me, have been a bit of duds.
Well, what comes on, like, we're getting to that time of year, but what's all going to be on Golf Channel now?
Hockey.
Reruns.
The
they literally put hockey on
Wonderful World of Golf.
Shell's Wonderful World of Golf.
Where like you see Trevino playing against Nicklaus in one on one. Like, why don't they do more of that?
I think that's what they're trying to do with this, the match.
Well, TNT's always been trying to do this, but like, you know, it's no different than what they did before the Las Vegas race last year, which was kind of like not fun.
Right. I don't know. I think it's
I think just like going back, I like 2-on-2, but like also having some 1v1. Right. Like they asked the players last week about like handicaps, and like Scotty was like, at my club, I play to a +7. Justin Thomas is like, I'm a +9. Hell no, I'm not giving Scotty Scheffler 2 shots. No. Like, I would just go back to doing more one-on-one stuff. And
I mean, it would be definitely interesting
content, you know,
I mean,
wasn't that what TGL is essentially going to bring to the off season when it starts?
No, though, that was all indoors.
Yeah.
It is all indoors.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It was.
I think the building's done.
But, and what made Shell's Wonderful World of Golf unique was not only was it that you had a marquee matchup, you know, a 1v1 match, but they always went to prominent golf courses or new golf courses that were coming up. And so it was kind of a course showcase as well.
So almost
too.
Like a new experience.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, because they didn't do it at PGA Tour courses. They did it at like,
or if they did, it was like Pebble Beach. Correct. I mean, like they went to like special places every time. A lot of times it was a new golf course as well too. I mean, they had back in the day, they had one at Pine Valley.
They had the Pine Valley match.
I think it was Gene Middleton played Sam Snead there.
Mm-hmm. What were you, 9?
No, I just fell off the turnip truck actually. Yeah. But it would be cool to do some of that again. You know, go to like marquee golf courses, have a headliner matchup.
I know this is more of a conversation for another day, but we know like with Rory McIlroy removing himself from anything PGA Tour related, what does that mean for TGL? Because he's one of the main investors, main owners of that.
I have no idea.
I mean, I'm sure him and Tiger's relationship right now probably isn't.
Probably strained a little bit.
Yeah, because Tiger's making the calls for the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
Like, that's been known now. I mean, it definitely isn't Jay Monahan. So, I don't know. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Going a little show and tell.
All right. Mm-hmm. Just thinking about the sickest putt course ever.
Huge glare on the TV.
Buck Run Golf Club in Michigan has an 18-hole natural grass island putt-putt course. $12 for adults and $7 for 15 or younger.
That's freaking awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
Clearly, Buck Run has FU money.
I must have, right? But I think more golf courses need putting.
Putting courses. I mean, our most famous one here in North Carolina is Thistledew.
Yeah, Thistledew.
And that place is always slam packed.
You don't
have to pay money for it.
Right. More and more resorts are starting to add, you know, like putting courses or putt-putt courses in natural grass. But it's like not as accessible.
This looks awesome because I would say this is a flush because I like how the holes are cut out.
Yeah, I mean it looks cool.
Is it artificial?
No, it's natural grass. Says it.
I didn't read it. You read it.
Clearly.
I don't know. The island obviously is natural grass, but that kind of looks like artificial turf.
I mean, the island doesn't have to be natural grass. I mean,
we went to Pop Stroke the other day. So expensive, dude.
Yeah, what'd you think?
It was okay.
Yeah.
I guess.
I mean, Pop Stroke is expensive for putt-putt.
Would you rather do Pop Stroke or Top Golf?
Pop Stroke.
Which Top Golf is 100%. Not. By the way, my Callaway bag next year won't have Top Golf on it.
Good for you.
Yes.
Pop Stroke. But even Rachel turned to me after like six or something. She's like, all these holes kind of look the same.
Yeah.
It's, well, I'm like, yeah.
It's
yeah.
So there's not the.
There's not Tiger, the
championship one, the Tiger version, and then the other version.
Right.
Is they not
a red and a black a lot of times.
It's clearly not, one is not harder than the other. Nah. It's advertised like the Tiger version is supposed to be hard. It's not.
Yeah. I was going to say, that would be my on it. It's just a little bit harder. More turned
because up. Like my dad was like, I love the atmosphere. It was cool. He goes, it just felt a little, you know, volcano putt-putt.
I was going to say, I like the Pop Stroke idea. I think
it's better than Top Golf.
1,000%. I would much rather go to Pop Stroke than Top Golf. But it's a lot easier to just kind of putt-putt around.
When I was living in Naples, there was one in Fort Myers. So we'd go up there quite a bit. It was right next to the airport.
So I went to the one in Port St. Louis.
Fort Myers. So.
But it's fun. Just turn it up. Make it a challenge.
Make it crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
make one a fairly straightforward for your non-golfer. And your golfer wants a challenge.
The coolest thing about it was they had beverage services while you were
playing. Oh, yeah, you can call in.
I know.
Yeah.
Airstrikes.
Airstrikes.
Airstrikes, dude. Airstrikes. Let's go. So, that's perfect. Flush.
Yeah.
More of this.
Natural grass, like putting courses, putt courses, we give that a flush. That's, we need to get more of that.
So first look.
Man, I wish, if it's possible, you should take the new TaylorMade CB. So
first look of the new Srixon.
ZXIs.
Is this the Mark III?
No, they're just calling them ZXI. They're just calling them ZXI.
We don't know. They look like the same thing.
We do not know any information about these yet.
ZXI7 and ZXI5. I'd be curious to find out what I-forged means.
I'm going
to
say that the ZX7, it could have the pure frame, and the ZX5 could have the main frame.
Yes. I think we can tell that from the picture of that, yes. Yeah. But obviously they changed it from, instead of just saying fours, it says I forged.
I was Indo.
Oh, that's Italian. Right. We did find out. Yes, Indo. So they're fours in Indo Japan.
Yeah. When I see this picture, my first reaction was James Franco. Same. But different.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it literally looks like the ZX7 and ZX5, and the ZX7 is a carbon copy of the new TaylorMade P7 CB.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I literally took them side by side.
The ZX7, ZX5 iron has probably been Srixon's most successful iron they've come out with 6 years ago,
yeah.
Right? The first versions were fantastic. I played the ZX7s. I loved them. They were a little jumpy, but you know what? That doesn't hurt most golfers. It hurt the tour players, but it doesn't. You know, they don't play the same stuff anyways. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm excited to hit them.
They look good, I think.
Yeah. They don't look any different.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know?
That's fair. I mean, the Mark IIs weren't.
They were basically the Mark Ones.
Yeah.
You know, they still perform pretty well.
It's about time they came out with the new iron. It's been a long. Yeah. It's been a while. So
2-year cycle.
Yeah.
Yep.
2-year cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Dang, it feels like the Mark II's been out for 5.
Yeah, they've been out for 2 years.
That's because they were so close to the Mark I.
Yeah. Break 50 with legend Tony Romo.
I think they shoot a 56.
Hold on. So hold we got on. Bryson DeChambeau here. He's going to do a break 50 episode with legend Tony Romo. What do we think they shoot?
Bryson actually tweeted and said legend. Who? I was going to say Bryson thinks Tony Romo's a legend?
Well, he's a Dallas guy.
In what sense is he a legend? That's a strong
He's
word.
A legend for fumbling the snap and then trying to run it in the end zone. What game was that? I know it was a playoffs game, but what game was that?
I love Tony Romo. Too. I think Tony Romo was an awesome announcer.
Yes.
I actually, in game, he was calling plays before the plays happened. That's like, it was because Tom Brady this weekend was seeing ghosts. He was terrible. He was terrible, but. Tony Romo's a stick. That's been known for a while now. I think he's like a +2.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good golfer.
Do we think they break 50?
As long as they don't call it a playoff, he should have no problem.
As long as it's not close down the stretch.
Yeah. Are they playing at Dallas Golf Club?
I don't know.
I would assume it's somewhere in Texas, being that both of them live there.
They both live in Dallas.
I mean, they'll definitely have a chance to break 50.
Tony Romo is a good ball striker. I think his problem has always been putting, which he's a tall guy. It kind of makes sense.
Bryson's a good putter, though. I'm going to say they shoot 52, 53. Yeah.
It'll be better score than the daily match.
I think so, too.
Because he'll have some help.
I think Bryson knew halfway in that video that they weren't serious.
Yeah.
Right.
I think Tony's going to take it because, again, I like Romo and
I wouldn't be surprised if they do.
Bryson was serious, but JD was not.
Because,
JD was sauced.
For me being a golf
He won 2 majors. He was serious at some point.
Like me being a golf fan, when I think about Tony Romo and golf, like as far as like since I watch a lot of golf, I always think of the shot from the grandstands.
Yep.
So he hits off of the AstroTurf up on the second story of that grandstand and just nips it and gets up and down
and rips it back.
Yeah. I mean, he's got the skill set. I think compared to the last few episodes of Break 50, as long as they get off to a better start, and
I think they have a chance.
Bryson said, if they birdie the first 2 par 3s, they're going to break 50. If they do the same thing where they go par, it'll be 50-52.
Yeah. I don't know. It'll be cool. I'll watch it. I can't tell you how many people I have that wouldn't think they would watch the YouTube video. That how many come in that are referencing the John Daly video?
Yeah. Oh, they definitely got a lot of views.
Bryson's the needle right now. Yeah. And the PGA Tour hates it.
Well, with YouTube golf, I mean, Bryson's doing a fantastic job. So,
flush.
Well, that's it. We're closing her out. Until next week, make sure you like and subscribe. Turn on the push bell notifications. Today was episode 68. So, next week will be a lot of fun.
Yep.